Welcome to Sports Hour. Listening to WNYO Sports Hour with your hosts, Aaron Valentino and Brandon Lapp.
Wednesday, and Aaron Valentino is back inside WNYO Studios. Couldn't hear myself for a second because the headphones were turned down. Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd here with you on this Wednesday, a depressing Wednesday for New York fans across the state. Not all New York fans, but I would say the majority of them. Brandon, how are we feeling on this Wednesday, gloomy afternoon in Oswego?
Feeling well. I forgot that the Yankees played last night until you mentioned that. It seems like that was a lifetime
you forgot?
Ago. Yeah, that was a lifetime ago.
We watched this whole game together last night and critiqued every single part of it, and you forgot about it?
I shook it off.
You shook it off.
I'm off to the Celtics season now.
we're on to Celtics. We're on to Cincinnati, as people like to say. And joining us today for a quote therapy session fresh off the boat from Boston, it's Joey Palatsky. Joey, how are we feeling on this Wednesday?
Happy to be here. I'm right there with you, Brandon. I was walking out of Fenway last night, and I was saying we're on to Nets and Sabres season. We're gonna have the short term memory with that game last night.
Joey was at the game last night. Witnessed it live. Witnessed the Yankees making some bad decisions, playing some bad baseball, and watched the Red Sox celebrate at Fenway Park, and watched the Boston fans everywhere celebrate as the Red Sox will look to lose in the first round to the Tampa Bay Rays in the ALDS.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fun night, but, you know, the playoffs are still very far from over. Now the Red Sox get the tall task of going up against Tampa Bay Rays, and it seems like the Red Sox are kind of trending upwards and the Yanks are trending downwards going into that game last night, but the Red Sox, they have a good momentum going into that Rays series.
Yeah.
And now I get to be an Atlanta Braves fan. And
why?
Just to cheer Jake on
why?
For the rest
no,
of October.
Why are we going to encourage Jake? That seems like a horrible idea.
Because I feel like if the Braves lost and the
Braves
Yankees...
The Braves are just such a nothing team. Like, why does anybody care about them?
Gotta root for your friends.
Yeah, you gotta root for your friends.
Root for your friends!
I feel like if the Braves had lost and the Yankees were left in the postseason, Jake would cheer for me.
No, Jake would not. He thinks the Yankees get every call. Jake is not rooting for anybody here. Let's all get that straight away right now.
You see, personally, I like to see my friends root for their teams and enjoy their success. I don't like seeing my friends miserable. So
no,
I'm gonna pull for the Braves.
I enjoy the misery, and I hate the Atlanta Braves. I hate every team in the postseason except for the White Sox and Brewers. So it's another torturous postseason for me to watch.
Some of us have positive sports memories from growing up.
I don't like any. I hate the Dodgers. The Giants, I hate them this year. I think they're a fake, fraudulent team, and I'm very aggravated that they won 100 games. Hate the Braves, division rival. Don't like the Astros for obvious reasons. I used to like Boston, and then I started living with Brian, and he like kind of got annoying about it. And also, like the Red Sox weren't supposed to be good this year, and they were, so that kind of makes me angry. So I'm not rooting for them. I don't mind the Rays, actually. That's not true. I don't mind the Rays, but I like the Brewers, White Sox, and Rays, and that's it. Every other team, hope they lose, get swept in the worst way possible.
I could see the Brewers turning into America's team here. It seems like there's not a guy on that team that's unlikable. The White Sox, maybe you could see that the passion they play with rubbing some fans the wrong way, but I thought that was kind of funny, Aaron. You said that the Giants are a fraudulent fake team, and by the way, they had 100 wins.
Yeah, I know. No,
but the White Sox,
ridiculous.
That only rubs their manager the wrong way, it seems like.
It actually, it just infuriates me that the Giants won 100 games this year. Just so ridiculous. They should have won 75. Anyway, that's besides the point. Don't have to get angry about the Giants. Let's get into the New York Yankees last night. That's it. They played an entire season. They gave their fans heart attacks every step of the way. And Brandon Ladd, the New York Yankees, played one more game and are now sitting on the couch for the rest of October.
They are, and now they go into a pivotal offseason. Last night, a fascinating game. I swear the Green Monster gained a few inches. The wind was just blowing in off the harbor at unbelievable, probably hurricane-rate forces whenever Giancarlo was batting last night. It just seemed like they couldn't get a break. A questionable send call by Phil Nevin in the sixth inning. But still, let that go. It's going to be a pivotal offseason for the Yankees. They got a lot of decisions to make. They got to figure out what their starting rotation will be going forward, and they got to figure out what to do with Rizzo, Judge, different people like that. So the Yankees will go into the offseason probably with a new manager. We haven't got an official word on that quite yet.
I feel like Aaron Boone, as you mentioned, getting a new manager, he's not even the main focal point of the coaching staff looking after last night. He didn't mismanage the bullpen too bad. Bringing in Chad Green in a 4-1 game, maybe a little questionable, but I thought Boone did a solid job with the bullpen, and now the stuff with Phil Nevin's going to be the... I think he's going to be the coach who Yankees have a bounty on his head this offseason.
Yeah, and speaking of Phil Nevin, let's get into the pivotal play of the game. It seemed like momentum was shifting. It just seemed like the Yankees could finally get something going. Nate Eovaldi got taken out of the game for no apparent reason. It seemed like... Now, Joe, you were there live. Were you saying, go, go, go? Did you want Judge to be sent home?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm yelling that from the stands. I was in row 12 of section 18. I'm yelling that from the stands. I'm yelling as a fan who wants to see their team score and going off adrenaline. It seems like if you watch the Yankee games this year, there's been a lot of questionable close plays at the plate where Yankee guys have been caught out, and it seems like if Phil Nevin holds him at third, that there's lots of runs this season that could have been scored. Phil Nevin seems like he's coaching the same way that the fans in the stands are yelling. He was coaching off the adrenaline and just trying to get some momentum. You got to be a lot smarter. No Gallo, about half of the balls he puts in play are fly balls. So between you either pick up a sacrifice fly or a home run, if it could be second and third with one out, make it a 3-2 game or a 4-3 game, depending if you get a sac fly or a 3-run shot. But then you make it runner on second, two outs, and it takes all the momentum away from the Yankees in that spot too.
And you gotta realize that Stanton ball, however high up that wall it hit, and with such pace, it's gonna get a hellacious ricochet, and it's gonna be pretty far up center field. So it was a pretty easy throw for the center fielder into the cutoff man, Bogarts, and then Bogarts was just like, oh.
Bogarts turned around
home.
Literally watching the replay, Bogarts turned around, saw Judge was running, and was like, what in the world are you doing, sir? And just fired an absolute strike to home to get him out. And that was it. I mean, there was really nothing else. The Yankees couldn't get anything going for the rest of the evening. Giancarlo Stanton hit his home run, which we all knew he was going to get to eventually. And that was it. The Yankees offense couldn't get going against the Red Sox bullpen. And one of the things I kept seeing on Twitter last night was, you know, this team has no heart. That's why they lost. Do you guys agree with that?
I mean, I think in a sense, I noticed every time they had the ESPN broadcast up on the polls at Fenway, and it feels like every time, it wasn't even in the eighth, ninth inning, it was sixth, seventh inning, they're showing the guys on the top step in the Yankees dugout, and they're just silent, and they already look defeated. I mean, that was when it was a 3-1 game. Cora takes Nate Eovaldi out. It seems like the Yankees might have had a little bit of momentum. And then from there, all the guys were just on the top step, dead silent. They look defeated. I mean, it's October. Get going. Cheer your guys on. You don't have to be winning the game to show any kind of enthusiasm on the top step.
And that probably just comes from a team that played below expectations this year. And I feel like they had that mood the whole entire season because things didn't always go their way. They didn't get all the lucky breaks they wanted. But still, this was a team that was in the playoffs. They should have acted like they were a wild card team and not acted like they were a one seed that did not perform well this year.
Yeah, I mean, overall, you know, it's tough for me to say that they didn't perform well. They won 92 games, you know. In reality, they won 92 games, and they came in third because they play in the toughest division in all of baseball. It's tough to say. And this game last night, it just... I don't know, it kind of looked like they couldn't get anything going. It seemed like the only guy who was, you know, ready to go out there was Giancarlo Stanton, and it looks like he's been ready to go for the past month. Any final thoughts on the game before we go to break?
I don't know if A-Rod was correct, but I'll say this. If Gerrit Cole is the competitor I think he is, I think A-Rod's assessment at the end of last night's game was correct, that Gerrit Cole probably will win the Cy Young next year.
Yeah, we didn't even touch on that. Gerrit Cole... They signed him for this reason, for this exact moment, to pitch in this game, and it didn't work, Joey.
I thought the Yanks had it in the bag as soon as I saw Gerrit Cole going up against Nate Eovaldi.
I thought there was no way they were going to beat Gerrit Cole.
They go. What was it? 10 years, $324 million.
Oh, yeah.
For games like this, and you go two plus innings and props to the bullpen. I mean, I think Boone and everyone ever on the planet Earth didn't see Gerrit Cole coming out of that game and with no outs in the third inning. So props to the bullpen for being ready. But it's so disappointing that you get that effort out of Gerrit Cole.
Yeah. They signed him. You know, they didn't sign him for the regular season. They didn't sign him to win Cy Youngs. They signed him to pitch in the postseason. That was the one thing they were missing from all those teams that lost in the ALCS in years past, and he didn't get the job done. Not last year, not this year, and the Yankees will head into 2022 still not having been to a World Series since 2009. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Where do the New York baseball teams go from here now that New York baseball is officially wrapped up for the 2021 season? Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network.
Start spreading the news.
Yankees
I'm leaving today.
Yankees
I
news.
Want to be a part of it. New
Yankees
York,
news.
New York. These
vagabonds.
I had to do it. I had to do it. None of you are laughing. It's hilarious.
Too soon.
It's not too soon. I think it's hilarious, personally. When I thought of this last night, late at night when I was trying to fall asleep, I couldn't stop laughing. I couldn't fall asleep for like 25 minutes. It's so funny.
Everyone just preys on the Yankees' downfall every year.
You have to.
It doesn't matter if the Yankees make it to the World Series, if they lose in Game 7, we're still going to have that same sound effect there.
88.9 FM. WNYO.
I'm doing great with the buttons today, clearly. But I had to do that, and I'm so sorry that you had to listen to that, but I absolutely had to do it. It's absolutely hilarious, and I told a couple people that I was going to do that, and everybody else thought it was funny as well. So the Yankees do lose. They move on to the couch in October and are set to make a very big offseason. You know, it's really funny to me. So many tweets last night from like accounts with like hundreds of thousands of followers, like Yankee fan accounts, and all of them are saying, fire Cashman, we need to go into a full rebuild, I'm done with this team, this is a disgraceful franchise, why do I do this to myself every year? And, you know, I can't help but think that, you know, the Yankees, they've been in the playoffs almost, they were in the playoffs every year from 2009 until now. I think there was one, maybe 2 years they didn't make it. Win 90 games every single year and have been one win away from the World Series twice in the last 5 years. Why are we doing a full-scale rebuild here, Brandon?
Because they aren't what the Dodgers have become. That the one thing to think about here is they did not become the perennial 100-win team that they should have become when they made that special run in 2017 and exceeded expectations. That was one of the younger teams you'll ever see make a run like that. And they should have only gotten better. And they've stayed stagnant, and now they've taken a step back. But it doesn't mean you need to rebuild fully. It just means you need to make smart moves to stay competitive. And this offseason is an opportunity to do just that.
But fire the greatest GM of all time?
Well, you're not going to
really
do that.
Like, we're calling for Brian Cashman's head after he's delivered you a 92-win season? Are we serious?
Whoever says fire Cashman's an idiot.
Right.
I mean, plain and simple. I think we can all agree on that. The Yankees were in a great position to win the game last night. Going into the game, we had our ace, our 10-year, $300 million man. The lineup was, for the most part, healthy. I mean, obviously, DJ and Voit are two of the top five hitters on the team, and missing them hurts. But it's the Yankees, and it's baseball, and injuries happen. And we went in there with Judge, Giancarlo, Rizzo, and Gallo from the deadline, and the $300 million ace, and the team just underperformed last night.
I just don't understand, like, Yankee fans' whole mantra about this team being terrible when you've been in the postseason almost every year of your entire life. What are we doing?
Like, well, that's not the expectation.
Yeah, but it but 92 wins is no longer good enough. I just, like, it blows my mind. Like, what happens when Yankee fans actually watch terrible baseball? What happens then? Because, have you seen the team over in Queens? Have you seen the team at the bottom of your division for the last 8 years? What happens when you guys actually are going to watch bad baseball one day? Because it's got to happen eventually.
Yeah, it won't happen for another at least 10 years if Aaron Judge is around. But this seems like if you're the Yankees, if you think about it, our parents' generation, they had the 90s. Our grandparents' generation, they had, well, pick a decade, 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever you want to. There really hasn't been that bad stretches of decades of baseball for the Yankees. So there's just a certain expectation that the Yankees win World Series or they're competing for World Series. But I think you need to call a spade a spade. The competition in the AL got better this year, so it's not time to fully freak out.
Aaron, I'll tell you right now, I mean, you said what happens when the Yankees play worse teams, like the team in Queens, the New York Mets. We saw them play against the Mets, and we saw Lindor.
No, what happens when they play like the New York Mets, or God forbid, they play like the Baltimore Orioles?
Right. But I mean, when we played against the Mets, I'm getting to this point here. When we played against Mets, and Lindor hits that three home run game, that's another win, and that could have, you know, it's a difference maker between the Yankees having home field advantage in that game last night. And I genuinely believe the game goes a whole different way if that game's in Yankee Stadium last night between the crowd and, I mean, even some of those Giancarlo balls get out and just the field dimensions change everything as well. But I think it was wild last night, Aaron Boone saying that the league's closing the gap on the Yankees. The Yankees aren't the gold standard in the league.
The gap is closed.
There was never a gap. The Yankees didn't realize that they had to chase down the Rays going into this season.
The Yankees haven't been the gold standard in the league since Boone's been there. I don't know if he fully recognized that. And obviously, the history of the franchise is there without a doubt. But recently, I don't know what gap he's talking about.
Now, that being said, the Yankees don't need to do a full-scale rebuild. The Yankees have heart. Okay, they have a man named Aaron Judge who has more heart than any other player I've seen play this game before. They've got grimy guys like Gio Urshela as well. The Yankees don't need to rebuild. Now, does there need to be change? Absolutely. This team should be in the World Series this year. They should have won 107 games with this roster, this pitching staff, and this bullpen. With that being said, the first man to go, I'm sorry, Aaron Boone needs to be fired. He should have. Actually, he can't be fired, as Luke Owens tweeted out today, because his contract is up. He should not be brought back next year. Cannot, under any circumstances, can you bring back Aaron Boone next year, Joey? None. Zero. Absolutely not.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I've always been a Boone guy for years at this point, but coming into this postseason here, you know, if you lose that wild card game, It's just unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
With Boone losing that wild card game, and however much blame you want to put on him for how he's been managing the bullpen this year, he did decently well last night. But in all honesty, it's just become a distraction at this point. Every time the Yankees lose or go on a losing streak, it's, oh, fire Boone or get him out of there or whatever it may be. And he's not worth the distraction with how much it's become. I think it's more the distraction's more of an issue than him actually, how bad of a manager he actually is.
And you're right. Who do you bring in that's better than Boone? I don't know. There probably isn't a ton of people. And
a carpet off the side of the street soaked in toilet water.
He's not that bad.
Would be better than
that.
Oh, my God, guys. This is what I don't think you realize the roster that Brian Cashman has put together here. Guys,
it's not like Boone's fault.
Like this roster has the potential to be one of the greatest teams to ever play the game of baseball, and Boone has slashed it to pieces. Guys, what are we talking about?
Out of
here?
All professional sports, we know that a baseball manager is the least important person to a team. It's the player's fault.
It's not Aaron Boone's fault. Garrett Cole goes 2+ innings last night. That's not on him.
It's not on him at all.
And it's not on Garrett Cole, or it's not on Aaron Boone that Judge got sent by Phil Nevin, and it's not on Aaron Boone that DJ and Voit weren't in the lineup last night.
I'm not saying it's necessarily Aaron Boone's fault that they lost this game last night, but this season in general, like, they shouldn't even be in the position. They should be where the Giants and Dodgers are right now. I mean, do you guys realize the lineup that Brian Cashman has brought the two of you? Do you realize how good a pitcher Garrett Cole is and should be? Do you realize back in 2017, 18, and 19, the bullpen that Brian Cashman put together? I mean, give me a break. This team should have won 105 games this year, and they're out. They're sitting on the couch in October.
Well, it's the player's fault. Torres had a down year. Urshela had a down year. Sanchez had a down year. How is that Boone's fault?
a manager is supposed to be able to figure out, one, a few games, more than 92 with this roster, and two, supposed to motivate the players. You want to talk about why the Yankees have no heart? The heart starts with the coaching!
Well,
get Aaron Boone out of the Bronx!
If this was the concept, the Mets should deserve a new manager every single year then.
Oh, well, we're going to get to the Mets. It's a little bit of a different case over there. I don't think the roster is as good as the Yankees. I think you saw that this year with them winning 77 games compared to the 92 that the Yankees won.
I think one of the biggest issues with Boone, obviously, besides how much of a distraction him being fired becomes, is the entire season was so highs and lows. And you can make that point that the just going through all those lows and Boone's got to turn it around and make sure those lows just don't last as long. But it's such a distraction. I don't really know who else is on the market. I mean, Buck Showalter. I saw Buck Showalter's there. Ron Washington was there.
Don't hire Buck Showalter. He'll be worse than Aaron Boone.
Well, he's a Yes Network analyst right now, so he knows the team decently well.
No, he didn't even know that the extra inning rule was a rule coming into this year and said it on live TV. No, guys, if we don't know the basic rules of the game, we shouldn't be hiring people to run baseball teams. What are you two saying?
If the Yankees fire Aaron Boone, who do they go get?
I think
you could go get... You could go get anyone. Who does any team get any year?
I'm officially campaigning Brandon Ladd, New York Yankees manager 2022.
But how poetic justice would it be that Buck Showalter would be able to run this team? Because
guys,
who do you know whose team Joe Torre won with in 1996? Well, Buck Showalter got fired in 1995.
Guys, there's no reason to hire. Listen, do you want to know Buck Showalter? There's been a lot of managers' vacancies over the years. If Buck Showalter deserved to have a job on a team in 2021, he would have a job on a team in 2021.
No, I'm not saying he's the solution. I'm just saying I was watching MLB Network yesterday, and they were talking about coaching vacancies and said Ron Washington and Buck Showalter,
Ron
two leading candidates.
Ron Washington would be good. Ron Washington would be good, not Buck Showalter.
I'd like to bring in a younger guy. That's one of the things I like about Boone is I'd personally just like having whether it be a former player or whatever it is, I'd like having someone that's closer to their playing days than their death day.
What's A-Rod up to?
Yeah, right. You're going to bring in A-Rod? What about...
Oh, it wouldn't be the worst thing. I think it'd be interesting.
Bring in Derek Jeter to manage the team and run
Jeter
the Marlins.
Jeter has much better things going on for himself right now.
Right, because talking about if Aaron Boone should be fired every other day isn't enough of a distraction. Let's go make Alex Rodriguez the manager of the New York Yankees.
I think it would be fascinating.
It would be a fascinating
reality TV
ball
show.
Club.
It's probably fun to low him, though. He would want to be the GM.
It would absolutely be a reality show if A-Rod managed the New York Yankees. I would pay to watch that. I would. That would be hilarious.
Go get a new hitting coach. How about that?
Yeah.
You guys.
Got to have these guys prepared for some of these pitchers.
I don't like the Yankees, and I'm still angry that they aren't winning at the rate that they should. And it's very clearly because of Aaron Boone.
They got a clean house on the coaching staff. I'm with you. I mean, I've been saying Marcus Thames got to go. I mean, Phil Nevin's going to have the spotlight on him for years now because now, you know, the sending judge from last night is going to be such. It's going to be so spotlighted, and it's going to be on Phil Nevin for years. And Boone's such a distraction, and I think you know that's half the coaching staff at that point. Yeah.
It's such a tricky one because if things go their way, Torres has a good year, Sanchez has a good year. You put the same team out there, run this season again, they probably win 108 games. It's very tricky.
How about the Yankees go get a true leadoff hitter too? I mean, it was game 163 last night, and we still don't have a set lineup. We got Anthony Rizzo's been batting cleanup. Gardner's on the brink of retirement. He's been batting cleanup. Glaber's been batting cleanup.
Got
to establish the lineup and actually not just have all power guys. Get a couple contact guys at the top of the order. See what happens.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we'll discuss the New York Mets. Is Theo Epstein coming to Queens? No, he's not. They also got rid of Luis Rojas. Didn't really get a chance to talk about that the last couple days. So we'll discuss all that and more right after the break. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network.
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies. Bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life because the Mets are really sucking the ball, knocking those home runs over the wall.
Sports Hour right here on WNYO 9 the Laker Radio Network. I'm Valentino and Brandon Ladd here with you along with Joey Palatsky on this Wednesday. You know what's funny about this song? Is that, you know, it was released when the team was, I guess, or it might have been 1963. This video had a picture of the 63 yearbook. They were historically bad. Like, the worst team in like major league history still to this day. And like this song was created and it's like, yeah, the Mets are socking the ball. They were not. They were doing the exact opposite of that. They were striking out and grounding into double plays and not hitting and not pitching and not really doing a whole lot of good baseball things in the early years. Neither of you have anything to say about that.
I kind of want to get the exact record.
Yeah, I want to do. Well, I'm just 40, doing some research on this. 40, I was hoping Ladd was going to say
it's
something.
It's 40 and 122, I think. 1962 is the worst team ever.
Yeah, music and lyrics were written in 1961 by Ruth Roberts and Bill Katz, and it was originally recorded by Glenn Osser's orchestra.
Yeah, 40 and 120. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There, yeah.
It happens.
No, they're the worst team, it's the worst team ever.
So, I mean, when you're putting that product out there, you got to promote the team somehow, right?
They started...
You do need to promote them somehow.
They started, like, their theory behind the expansion. Like, they started in incompetence already. Like, they were doomed from the start. Their idea was for the expansion draft was to draft older veteran players that would attract fans to the stands. That's not how you build a team.
No. And it seems like it cost them.
Oh, it did.
The first time they had a winning record, they somehow won the World Series.
Yes. Yes. They were a miracle team.
I'm doing some research on this right now. It says the team sold 45 records of the song for $1 at the Polo Grounds in 1963 and via mail order. And in 1963, $1 was worth about $8.94 today. So I don't know how much that money's worth or how much guys were getting paid back then, but maybe they were just helping sign contracts.
That's a fair point.
But the point, yeah, like they drafted the team in 62 in mind with like putting people in seats, which is just like so stupid.
Come
like,
buy a copy of it, or you can have it shipped in the mail in 6 to 8 weeks.
Their attendance wasn't horrible.
Well, yeah, because National League Baseball was brought back to Queens, or not Queens, but brought back to New York for the first time since 58, right?
Yes, and it was the fifth. I can't believe it was Polo Grounds 5. That place just burnt to the ground like every 6 minutes.
It like disintegrated by the time Shea Stadium was built in 64. Yeah. Yeah, the Mets played their first 2 years. At the Polo Grounds, which not a lot of people remember.
Then they go to Shea Stadium, become the second most popular attendance team in the league.
Yeah, the Mets really, you know, it's a New York town. You know, they're a New York team. And they used to be New York's team.
For a second, I thought you were going to say they're New York's team, Aaron.
They used to be.
Right, but
In the 60s, they absolutely were. They were horrible, but they still were. Then they won the World Series. And in the 80s, oh yeah, they definitely, this is New York's team. And like in the 80s, not only were like they New York's baseball team, no, they were New York's team. Like that was the team that you rooted for.
The amount of teams just around, the amount of pro baseball teams around here that just have their own song. Well, they have their own songs, whether it be, I mean, not necessarily Meet the Mets is geared only to the Mets, but New York, New York becoming a Yankee song and Sweet Caroline becoming a Red Sox song. And baseball's got some beautiful music.
Yeah, but
to
the
it.
Meet the Mets song is actually right. Their song.
Right. It's
like Start Spreading the News or New York, New York by Frank Sinatra. That's just like something that the Yankees played because.
Did you see Judge brought rude. The speaker last night? He brought the speaker to Fenway ready to play New York, New York.
Yeah, no, I know. I bet he was. I bet he was. He drove home on the bus.
Called Find a Ride Back Home after that.
Well, oh, yeah. What was the Yankees record in 62? 96 and 66.
They won
good.
The World Series.
They did.
Yes.
That's right.
But the Mets almost beat them in attendance. So still a PR.
No, National League Baseball was huge in New York in the 50s. Like, yeah. The Giants and Dodgers were like the teams you rooted for and like were arch rivals. And like, it's actually a really fascinating story how like the Mets ended up coming to be and like why the Dodgers and Giants ended up shipping it off to Los Angeles. Like, because if you were, think about it, right? The majority of fans would be fans of the Giants and the Dodgers because there's just two, just based off of sheer numbers, there's two of them, right? And so when they left, people aren't going to root for the Yankees. They hate the Yankees. So naturally, they rooted for the National League team in orange and blue.
And that's kind of funny. Before TV, I guess if you're a National League fan, you don't really have much of a clue what's happening on the American League side.
Nope.
Yeah, you just know it from print news.
And you didn't have interleague play until the World Series.
Yeah.
So you like
really
never even like you could keep track, but you never saw them listened to the Yankees.
So now I see why it would make sense for why the Mets were created, because no Giants or Dodgers fan is gonna become a Yankees fan
absolutely
overnight.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely not. Why would you ever want to do that? So naturally,
we've learned a lot. Here.
You heard the tune of that music and the vibe to it, and that was what 60 years ago, and you got two World Series since then.
Yes, it's been a long road.
It's been a long road to two.
Yeah, it's been a long road to
two. Ever since that kind of music was being made, there's been two World Series rings in Queens.
Oh yeah.
Maybe they need to bring it back.
They should have won. How did they lose? Vlad made me angry the other day because he told me the Yankees' record in 2000. How did the Mets lose that series one and lost it in five games? And then in 2015, how do you lose to the Royals? It's just so aggravating.
It's like you go to sleep at night thinking about
these
things.
No, I do. The Lucas Duda throw haunts my nightmares to this day.
Lucas Duda.
And the Connor Gillespie home run still haunts my nightmares to this day.
It's like how I'm still in disbelief the Celtics...
That Tony Romo botched that.
Oh, yes,
botched
the PAT.
That Dez didn't catch
that
it.
That Dez didn't catch it. That the Celtics went... The Celtics missed their last 14 three-pointers against LeBron in Game 7, Tatum's rookie year. So there's a lot that goes through my head as well.
Yeah.
I really haven't thought about this, lad, but how are you a Yankees-Celtics-Cowboys fan?
It just blame my father.
Yeah, that's his
okay.
dad's fault.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, that's his dad's fault. All right, let's get to what the Mets are going to be doing. We've talked a lot about 1960s baseball today for no apparent reason.
It's what people came for.
Well, I think it's what people came for, too. The Mets, they did fire Rojas on Monday. Not a fire. They're not picking up the option is how they described it. And then it was announced today by the New York Post and a couple of other people as well, Joel Sherman, that Theo Epstein and Steve Cohen did have a lovely conversation that didn't really go anywhere. Theo Epstein will not be coming to Queens, which is not really a surprise in my eyes, Joey.
Yeah, I mean, where's Theo Epstein these
He's
days?
Working in Major League Baseball, like for Major League Baseball in some way, like developing the game or something like that.
Right, so they said it's not a fit. I don't really know what front office roles are there with the Mets right now.
What do you mean? The president of baseball operations and GM, the two most important positions there are.
So right now what they have, let me explain this. So right now what they have Sandy Alderson in, he should not be doing all three. He came there to be the vice president.
He's the president of the company.
Well, okay.
Sandy Alderson's supposed to be running the company with Steve Cohen, and they couldn't hire baseball ops because they didn't like anybody. So they hired a GM in Jared Porter, had to fire him because he's an idiot. And then they hired Zach Scott, and they had to probably get rid of him. I mean, it's not confirmed, but I can't imagine he's surviving a DWI. They're going to have to fire him because he's also an idiot. So Sandy Alderson has been running the team for the entire year, and that can't be a thing. So they're on to David Stearns, and the favorite right now to get the Mets president of baseball ops job is, of course, Billy Beane, former New York Met from 1982, 1985, and historic GM for introducing the concept of Moneyball in 2002, to the Oakland Athletics, which I think would be a perfect fit. Sandy Alderson, Billy Beane, back together again.
No, that's a good way to think about it, and that would be the guy that they should go after. You think they're just going to, if they don't get Billy Beane, that they're just going to hire anyone? It seems like they haven't
had much
success.
Well, they want David Stearns. They've wanted Stearns for a while. I don't think they're going to get him. I don't know. Outside of Billy Beane and David Stearns, it seems like Billy Beane has somewhat of an interest in coming to Queens. But, I mean, I don't think they're going to get Stearns. I don't think they're going to pry him away from, I think it's the Brewers, because I think the Brewers ended up hiring him last year. I don't think they're going to end up prying him away from over there. And, yeah, I don't know, like, GM candidates that are out there.
Some come out of nowhere. Like, some GM candidates you shouldn't know about.
Yeah. No, some do come out of nowhere. Like Jared Porter and Zach Scott. Like, unless you know baseball ops, you don't know who those guys are.
GMs.
Yeah, yeah. Right, exactly.
Yes, Stearns with the Brewers right now. You're not going to pry him away from
I don't think they're a playoff team.
Yeah,
I wouldn't be doing that either. Mets also have to find a new manager. Some people think Carlos Beltran deserves a second chance, considering that he never really got a first chance, and A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora have been welcomed back with open arms. I think that is something that would be very interesting for the New York Mets to look into. Ron Washington as well. I think he's a genius. I don't know why the Rangers ever got rid of him.
Maybe the Yankees should embrace cheating and just get Beltran.
I think Beltran would be a really good manager.
I
really do. I think David Wright would make a great manager, but he wants to coach his daughter's T-ball team, so unfortunately that's not going to be happening anytime soon.
I think you can do both. I think we could convince him that both are possible.
Well, you know, he's been asked about it multiple times, and every single time he said no. So, you know,
I could see Beltran getting back with the Mets. I mean, he's just one of those guys when you think, you know, the black jerseys and you think New York Mets, you just think Carlos Beltran.
The
name's just right there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not going to get David Wright away from his family, though.
Not yet. I think in a few years.
You think
maybe.
So?
I I would hope so. I mean, he just loves the game so much. He's always been a guy that loves the game, loves talking about the game, loves being around the game, and he's so smart. Like, I don't know. I just think it makes no sense why he's entirely out of baseball.
What is Jose Reyes up to?
Oh, yeah. That
Let's
guy.
Have Reyes
he's,
run.
He's trying to start up his rap career at the age of 45.
Let's he's have... got a couple good songs. Jose Reyes, I know a couple of his songs. He's got a couple of good. He makes Spanish music.
You imagine that Reyes runs the Mets, A-Rod runs the Yankees, 2022 Reyes baseball?
Reyes running the Mets would be an absolute disaster.
It like, would be fun.
It would be so... It would be so bad.
Then there's Brandon over here playing devil's advocate saying it'd be fun. And Aaron goes, no, it'd be awful.
Yeah, it would be awful. Yeah, I wouldn't want Jose Reyes running the team. Who else from some of those?
Davey Johnson still alive?
Oh, God, I would love that. If we could bring back 1980s Davey Johnson, that would be incredible. But Carlos Delgado, just throwing a name out there from the old 2016. Yeah.
I don't know what he's been up to.
Yeah, I don't know what he's been up to, too. And if they hire Billy Bean, there's a good chance Bob Melvin's coming with him, which I would love
that. Oh, that would actually be very fair and good.
I would love that. That would be the dream. Hire Billy Bean and then bring Bob Melvin along with him.
You get the package deal.
Absolutely. Get the package deal. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, got a couple more things to finish up, and then we'll wrap up the show. No Hot Corner today because it is Wednesday. Don't go anywhere. Sports Hour, WNYO 88.9, the Laker Radio Network. As I put the song on, Joey's like, "Up!" I walked right into that one, didn't I? We're looking for a song, and this one came up, and this is the one I put in. Sports Hour, Aaron Valentino, Brandon Ladd, Joey Polatsky.
I asked for a Jack Harlow song. Aaron sees Jack in there, and it's very fitting.
It's appropriate.
It's yet another gut punch.
New York baseball is hitting the road. I remember this song has fond memories for me because my second grade teacher, every Friday, when we would. When we would walk to the buses in our line, she would play the song as we exited to walk out to the buses.
That kind of sounds like she just doesn't like you guys. Hit the road, Jack.
No, Miss Maffey's one of my favorite teachers of all time, still to this day. My mom, and she loved me. My mom always tells this story. My parent-teacher conference in second grade, my mom said she walked out crying tears of joy because the conference was, like, so good.
In second grade?
Yeah, in second grade.
Parent-teacher conferences in second grade?
Yeah, everybody did.
I don't know if...
Yeah, everybody did.
I feel like we just
had
our
half days in school because of it.
Yeah. And like...
I don't know where I was.
I had parent-teacher conferences because I was a K-8 school. So I had parent-teacher conferences all the way up till 8th grade. Now, once you got to 6th grade, they became optional. I think my parents still ended up going that because I was a bad kid. I don't know. Yeah. I guess because they're good parents.
You think your second grade teacher remembers you? Seems like you got quite the effect on her.
Oh, absolutely. Miss Maffey, yes. She absolutely remembers who I am. 100%.
Lad, do you think your second grade teacher remembers you?
Oh, yeah. Miss Jones, of course.
Miss Jones.
Miss Jones.
Yeah, I remember. Let's see if I can remember
all my... I don't
know how
people remember this.
Elementary school teachers. I had Miss White, Miss Scuderi, Miss Maffey, Miss Carey. She was great. I loved Miss Carey.
She was great.
Mr. Billette. And then in fifth grade, I had a rotating... You know, that was the year we switched classes, but it was like fifth grade that kind of just got you ready for middle school. So you were, you know, it was, you knew you were going to have these three specific teachers. I had Miss Edwards, Miss Franciosi. Miss Franciosi is one of the greatest teachers I've ever had in general. Like professors of at Oswego High School and like elementary, middle school, Miss Franciosi was fantastic. And then Mr. Bird. And then I can't remember each individual year who I had in middle school because I had so many different teachers.
Wow. What do you got? Can you name half of those? Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Remember Miss Jones.
Yeah. Kindergarten, Miss Cassavan. First grade, Mrs. McEachern.
I love that.
Second grade, Mrs. Jones. Third grade, Mrs. Combs. Fourth grade, Mrs. Wakarik. Her husband taught earth science to me in ninth grade. I went to school with her son as well. Fifth grade, Mrs. DeSenza, who ended up actually getting cancer a couple years after I had her for class, fought through, has become an elementary school principal now, so a great story there.
Oh, wow, that's great.
Yeah, and then sixth grade, sixth, seventh, eighth, obviously, ton of teachers.
Yeah, I had like, I think I remember most of them. Mrs. Bassine, Mr. Hitzel, Miss Stobie, Who did I have for math in sixth grade? Oh, I had Hitzel. I had Hitzel for science and math that year.
I can tell you guys right now, fourth grade, Westmere Elementary School, I had Mrs. Sperber.
Mrs. Sperber.
And fifth grade at Westmere Elementary, I had Mrs. Giganti. Besides that, I went
to... You don't remember who your kindergarten teacher was?
I went to Hebrew school, kindergarten through third grade. So half So half the day we did Hebrew, and the other half we had one teacher who taught us everything else.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think it was because there were too many names right off the rip. I just don't remember it. That's all I could think of. I don't know. I don't remember their names.
That's interesting. Because I remember pretty much everyone. I remember most of my high school teachers, too, but just not, like, in what year I had them.
It's kind of wild, because, like, if I asked you, like, all your professors from, like, freshman year, you probably couldn't tell me them, but if I asked you your kindergarten teacher.
I remember the professor from Met 100. I don't remember his name. Oh.
That's what I'm saying. Memory's a wild thing.
What is his name? I had Maggie Simone.
Yep. Penny Morley.
Penny Morley. Yep.
A lot of legends here. There's a lot of legendary
professors. I forget my art teacher's name, too. I remember who he is. And, like, if I saw him, I would recognize him. But I can't remember his name. And then, what was my fifth class? Oh, I had Linda Lefevre. Oh, God. For Matt 100, I hated that woman.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. But I remember all my broadcasting professors. Cleland, Ricky, Loper, Arvin Didi, Maggie, obviously. I already said Cleland. I remember most of my broadcasting. A lot of goats here. Yeah. I don't remember my history teacher from freshman year either. Wow, Joe, you're really making me.
Right, but it's wild because you can't remember that, but you can remember your kindergarten through five.
I remember my history teacher freshman year of college failed me. And, like, I knew the grade wasn't going to be that spectacular, but there was no way I failed this class. So I emailed her about it when the grades came out, and she put in my project that I got, like an 85 or 90 on it. She put it in as a zero.
She hit you with a zero.
The registration department had to fix that. And that was a scary moment for me. Like, I'm driving down Memorial Day weekend to the beach. I'm like, this is it. Grades are done. I didn't fail anything. I'm moving on to the next level. And then grades come out. I'm in the car with my mom. And I just says F in History 101. And I'm like, there's no way. There's no way I failed this class.
At least the teacher was nice about it.
This is actually the one time the school actually did a good job fixing things swiftly.
I had a some writing teacher freshman year, and I got a C on our final paper that was like 25-30% of our grade or whatever. And so I handed him my rough draft, and he said, like, it was really good, and he gave me, like, a couple things to fix. I fixed them both. And somehow my grade for the paper dropped, and he said that he just put it in wrong.
Really?
And I feel like that just, it's human error. It happens, but it's kind of wild how, like, if you don't follow up on it, you're just doomed.
Yeah, no, if you don't follow up on it, I would have failed. I would have had to retake History 101.
It would have been brutal. It would have set you back.
It would have been horrible. Was it 101 or 102? I can't remember.
It would have been a chapter in your future biography.
Oh, yeah. It would have been. I failed History 101. It absolutely would have been.
Isn't time funny, though? I want to raise this point to you guys. Like, as a freshman, and obviously, Joey, you're younger than us, so maybe it doesn't apply to you as much as it applies to me and Aaron. But, like, when I was a freshman year here, it's like, oh, I can't wait to be 21. I can't wait to be a senior, go out to the bars. I can't wait to be doing stuff like this. But now that I'm 21, I'm kind of like, oh, I kind of wish I was 18 again.
No, not at all. Being 21 has changed my life forever. I absolutely love it. I absolutely love being 21.
I've never
go back.
I've heard that going into bars means less when you're actually 21. No. I've never been inside a bar, and I'm not 21, so I don't really know.
It means more because now you can go to, like, real bars, and, like, you can go to Las Vegas and, like, do stuff there.
And, like, I've got no problem admitting a felony on air. So, like, going out to the bars.
Okay.
Okay. Compared to 21.
But that's it. Sports Hour's canceled for the rest of the year.
I never been inside when I'm not 21.
No, you're not. You're a good kid. Why would you ever?
Just you two. As soon as you guys turned 21, you had your first ever beverage, and that was that. Anyway, sports.
Sports.
Well, I didn't have a lot of sports here. I was going to talk about Tommy DeVito and how I talked to him yesterday, and he's not happy that he's not the starting quarterback. He didn't say that, but he was not. You could tell by his attitude he wasn't happy. Like, reporters were asking him questions that, like, kind of beat around the bush. Like, one guy was like, you know, what would you describe your, you know, reaction to finding out that you're not going to be the starting quarterback? against Liberty, because they haven't talked since the Liberty game. He was like frustrated, angry, and he said like another word. And DeVito was like, I mean, I'm not gonna, those are your words, not mine. I did not say them. But yeah, I just hope I can be back on the field soon. He's not happy. And then this was really funny. Somebody asked DeVito if the offense has changed at all since Syracuse, Dino Babers made the change at quarterback from him to Schrader. And he goes, oh, absolutely. I feel like there's been a number of different changes. I feel like, you know, they're doing a couple of different things. And we asked Schrader the same question. He came out a couple minutes later and he goes, no, it's all stuff that we've been doing the entire year. Maybe I'm using my legs a little bit more, but no, I feel all right.
Yeah, that's kind of fascinating. DeVito has no reason to be mad. I guess it's just the circumstance.
Well, he's been there for so long, and he was supposed to be the second coming
of Christ.
He's
never taken the opportunity, though.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like he ever took it that seriously when he was younger.
But it's like anything. Like, Carmelo Anthony, he's been starting his whole life, and now people want him to come off the bench, and he's not doing it. AI with the same thing.
Yeah.
Now, Tommy DeVito is nowhere near where Carmelo Anthony and AI ever were. But just to give you horrible examples... it's like the same thing. And he's been at Syracuse for so long. He's a redshirt junior. He's also got a COVID extra year of eligibility, so he's planning on being here for a while. And now he's not even playing.
Side note, it's really funny how you mentioned, you know, DeVito's answers and the backup quarterbacks or the now starting quarterbacks' answers. And it just sounds like a dumpster fire. Then you look up and this is a winning football team right now. Like the way you said that, I assume they're 0-5.
But the tide's about to turn.
But, oh, yeah, well, they play Wake Forest on Saturday, and then Clemson comes to town next Friday. They should have won the Florida State game. If they won the Florida State game, I would book it, put it in the parlay. Syracuse is going to a bowl. But now since they lost that Florida State game, I don't think they're doing that at all.
Honestly,
I think it's up for grabs.
If they had Schrader as their starting quarterback and they went into that Rutgers game with a plan, I honestly feel this team would be undefeated right now.
Yeah, their two losses of the year, the Rutgers and Florida State. Yeah, those are games they could have won.
Yeah, and the Rutgers game, their defense played great. Their offense let them down. We always talk
about
this.
Well, special teams also let them down.
Yes, and then this Florida State game, their defense let them down.
Yeah, I mean, the fact, how do you not win the Florida State game on Saturday? I mean, really? Like...
Yeah, they had all opportunities.
Like, Rutgers, forget. Like, Rutgers, I honestly think, is the better team. That's my super biased opinion. But I do think they are a better football team than Syracuse is. But still, like, how do you... Laddie, you're going to have to talk.
And, I mean, Aaron, a quote to give you from that Florida State game. Sean Tucker, the star. I guess he's a sophomore. He wants to graduate early. But it's his second year. He's considered a freshman by eligibility. So Sean Tucker, stud running back for Syracuse. He was kicking
they're considering him, giving him number 44.
Yeah, he was kicking himself after that game because he stepped out at the one on one of their runs, and then they didn't get in on fourth and goal. And it was like a great run, and there was no chance he could get in. Like, that's a guy just putting the team on his back.
Oh, yeah. That's why people want to give him 44.
Because they're actually talking that way?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Lurch has talked that way. A couple people at CNY have talked that way. Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, he's been great. Like, great for them. He's probably the best player on the team.
No, honestly, he is. Now that Taj Harris is...
Well, now that Taj Harris is gone, and that was the other thing. We asked a couple players about Taj, and they wished him the best, every single one of them. The one guy, I forget who we talked to. I really got to get up on my Syracuse football knowledge here, but we talked to another receiver, and he was like, one of their questions was, what do you think of Taj as a teammate? And he goes, or what was he like as a teammate? And the receiver goes, you'll have to ask him that. So I don't think it's all... roses and meadows over there right now.
It never is.
No, it never is.
Why receivers are divas, Joey?
Well, that and it's Syracuse football. It's yes. Never roses and meadows in the Carrier Dome when there's turf on the ground.
But they're they're New York's team. Like, don't you think they could put together something a little bit better?
I want to make a counterpoint to that. UB has a very good football team.
Much better than Syracuse the past 5 years.
And UB's a SUNY school, too. And
yes.
I just think it's kind of wild that UB, they were nationally ranked last year.
Yeah, but Syracuse, like, when you think of New York's college team, it's Syracuse every time. It's not Manhattan. It's not Pace University. You know.
These are horrible examples.
New York doesn't have any really good college sports teams. Think about it. Besides Syracuse, who else in New York is as big as Syracuse is in terms of college sports? UB, maybe the last couple years.
Football. Army for football. Could just because they're Army
and
they play well.
But Army's not considered a...
No, they're not a powerhouse.
They're not considered like, oh, yeah, Army, that's New York's team. Like, they're not considered that.
Well, I'm pretty sure Syracuse is the only Power 5 school in New York,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. That's right. Why. So that's exactly the way to think why. About it. For basketball, St. John's. But St. John's hasn't performed well.
Not recently. Not at all, actually, recently.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone, though.
Yeah, there's nobody else other than Syracuse. And they can't put this godforsaken football program together.
It'd be kind of
funny. It blows my mind.
How funny would it be to put the numbers next to each other? Before Musselman left for, or not Musselman, Oates, I mean, left for Alabama basketball, and he was the UB coach. If you put the numbers between UB football and UB basketball to Syracuse football and Syracuse basketball, I would say there was probably a 5-year stretch Buffalo outperformed, which is wild because they're a SUNY.
You're absolutely right about that.
Have we thought about the fact that Jim Boeheim's suppressing the Syracuse football games, or the Syracuse football team, so he can remain the supreme guy out there?
That's a conversation for another day, I guess. That's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Hour Latin. I'll be back tomorrow. No hot corner today. We'll see you tomorrow.